Welcome to the LDN Radio Show, brought to you by the LDN Research Trust. I'm your host, Linda Elsiegood. I have an exciting lineup of guest speakers who are LDN experts in their field. We will be discussing low-dose naltrexone and its many uses in autoimmune diseases, cancers, etc. Thank you for joining us. This show is sponsored by Mark Drugs, who specialise in the custom compounding of medications, assuring that the client gets the proper prescriptions for their unique needs and conditions. They work with practitioners, integrating knowledge and treatment of experts to create comprehensive health plans. Visit markdrugs.com or call Roselle 630-529-3400 or Deerfield 847-419-9898. Today my guest is Dr. Martha Grout, is an MD, and she brings a diverse and rich background of training and experience to her profession of healing. Having earned an AB degree from Radcliffe College, Harvard University, she went on to earn an MD from the Medical College of Pennsylvania with a specialisation in emergency medicine. Her Scottsdale Integrative Centre is dedicated to the natural treatments of cancer, Lyme disease, diabetes, metacarbolic, irritable bowel and other chronic diseases. She endeavours to treat the whole person, body, mind and spirit, and in searching for the root cause to a patient's symptoms. Welcome, Martha. It's an honour to have you here with us today.
Thank you so much. It's an honour to be here.
So could you tell our listeners when you first heard about LDN?
When I first moved to Arizona in 1997, I came here because the climate of medicine was, I thought, a little freer than it was in Florida, which is where I had been at that time in practice of emergency medicine. And I know that I heard about LDN at some point during that year, during which time I did a tremendous amount of continuing education on concerning subjects that were not taught in allopathic medicine. So I studied for my homeopathic license and was granted the license, passed the boards. I studied acupuncture with Dr. Joseph Helms in California. I studied environmental medicine through the American Academy of Environmental Medicine. I studied chelation therapy, studied massage therapy. I did a lot of things while I was trying to get credentialed in Arizona. And one of those things that I learned about was low-dose naltrexone. I was really fascinated by the concept.
Mm-hmm. And when you first started to prescribe it, what patient population did you try it on?
Well, at that point, I was seeing mainly patients with pain issues because it was very early on in my integrative practice. And I was also seeing patients with brain function issues, children with ADD, adults with brain fog and confusion and early memory loss. And so I began to prescribe it for some of that population, not the children. I've never prescribed it for children, but for the adults of that population. And I was really interested in it because it seemed to me that its primary function and most useful thing that it could do for my patients was to modulate their immune system so they actually had a functioning immune system as opposed to a dysfunctional immune system. So that's really what I use it for to this day.
Mm-hmm. And when you first started to prescribe it, what doses were you using?
I started out with what was at that time the main recommended dose, which was 4 milligrams per day. I began to discover that not everybody could actually tolerate 4 milligrams. Had a really interesting couple of patients who were so dysfunctional that on 4 milligrams, they appeared to produce so much in the way of endorphins that they were basically dysfunctional. They were brain foggy and couldn't think straight. So I had to reduce the dose with them. And so now I prescribe anywhere between 1 and 4, kind of based on my intuition with follow-up.
Mm-hmm. And what have patient outcomes been?
Well, in the sense that it's not the only thing that I prescribe, I really can't give you good data on specific results of LDN. What I will say is that the treatments that we are using overall do improve patients' immune system function, and I'm quite convinced that LDN is part of that process. I just don't have any placebo-controlled double-blind studies to back it up.
So if you could give us a scenario of when a patient first comes to see you with multiple symptoms, how do you go about finding out what the root cause is?
I do a fair amount of functional testing. I do some standard lab testing because, I don't really believe in throwing out the baby with the bathwater. And sometimes conventional lab testing is very useful. Not so much for Lyme patients, as I have discovered over the years, but at least for very gross delineation of organ function, the conventional lab testing is useful. For functional testing, I find conventional labs much less useful. And so I use more labs like Genova Diagnostics and Doctors Data International and Igenics and DNA Connections and several labs like that that do more specialty testing. Even with immune system dysfunction, I don't find that the conventional laboratory testing is really very useful. It sounds crazy, but the conventional labs are really only specifically abnormal when there is gross organ dysfunction, long after they have been functionally incompetent. And so I try to get them before they become grossly organ dysfunctional. Thyroid is another example. Most of my patients with low-functioning thyroid have perfectly normal testing. You know, they're just cold all the time, and they can't lose weight, and they can't think straight, and they have brain fog. And so we look for other means. And in patients like that, I do find it helpful, the low-dose naltrexone.
We have many members with Lyme disease. How do you start to unravel all the issues that a Lyme disease patient has to start to treat them? I know, I mean, there are so many people, seriously, who find it very, very difficult to A, get a diagnosis. They're told it's all in the head, that they're, you know, imagining all these awful things that's wrong with them. Or they have been diagnosed but really don't have any answers as to how they're going to beat this and feel, in inverted commas, normal again. I mean, it is a horrendous disease. How do you go about treating it?
It is indeed a horrendous disease, and there are so many component parts to it. It's not as though you could just say, okay, you have Borrelia burgdorferi infection, and I'm going to give you this antibiotic for 2 weeks, and you're going to get better. That's just not how it happens. And part of the problem, I think, is that many of these people that have had Lyme infection of any of the varieties of co-infections have been sick for so long and were probably not healthy before they got the disease. Some were very healthy, but many were not. And so there are so many different pieces of the puzzle. It's oftentimes difficult to unravel. I start out by, first of all, trying to get adequate testing, which most of the time ends up not being conventional lab testing. If they're positive on a Western blot through a conventional lab, they're really lucky because they actually have a clear-cut diagnosis that their insurance company will look at and their doctors will look at, and they will say, oh, yeah, you're positive, but, gee, that probably happened 30 years ago, and you certainly don't have the infection now.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's a real issue for people. But if they are also nutritionally depleted, kind of running on empty, unless we get their tank filled up, they're never going to feel better. Their immune system isn't going to work. Their brains aren't going to work. They're just not going to function. And so we look at trying to fill up their nutritional tank. And oftentimes you fill a tank much better with a hose than you do with a syringe. Mm-hmm. And so they often have such gut dysfunction and microbiome dysfunction or abnormality that they can't even absorb nutrients very well through the gut. And so it's like, you know, trying to fill a bathtub with a teaspoon. So we go with IV nutritional therapies frequently because it's a better way to get them filled nutritionally faster so that they can begin to function better faster.
Mm-hmm.
And then we use IV antibiotics. Not always because, well, not everybody requires IV antibiotics. Some people do actually pretty well with oral antibiotics. It may take longer, but they do okay. Their guts tolerate it. And we make sure that we work on ensuring that they have sufficient healthy probiotics, that they're not depleting their guts, that their diets are healthy, non-genetically modified, basically organic when possible. If they're not able to absorb and their guts don't tolerate, then we try to do IV antibiotics. It's very expensive, bottom line. And I can't really say much more about it than that, except that it's expensive and it is oftentimes very effective.
Mm-hmm. I've never known anybody who's had IV antibiotics. I don't know whether we do that over here. But how long of a period of time do they have to have the IV antibiotics?
The patient that I remember the best, and the one who has a video with her permission on my website, Katie's Story, Katie was on IV antibiotics for 18 months.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, a long time. She has not had any IV antibiotics for several years now and is totally functional without them.
Mm-hmm.
She does, she does other things. I'm in touch with her still, but she no longer requires the IV antibiotics. Other people require much less time.
I mean,
you
say 18 months. I mean, is this every day for
hers
how long?
Hers was virtually every day. She was a very unusual case. I think she's the only one that I've had on antibiotics for that long.
How many hours at a time was she having it?
Probably 4 to 5 hours a day.
Wow. It's a lot of antibiotics.
It's a long-term therapy.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a lot of antibiotic. But for some, that's what's required. And if they get it, they get better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if they get oral antibiotics for 2 weeks, they may get a little bit better, and then they relapse. And then they see their doctor who says, you've had enough antibiotic, and then they come to me. And then we work on it.
Uh-huh. Okay. And I also see in your bio that you're a co-author of an award-winning book called An Alphabet of Good Health in a Sick World. Could you tell us a bit about that?
That was a lot of fun to write. I wrote it with Mary Budinger, who is an excellent medical writer. She and I collaborated on our website, and a great deal of the information in the book actually came from the website. I am always working on articles and on new information that comes up because the medical world doesn't stay stable. It would be really nice if you could just learn something and consider it learned. You know, unfortunately, that's not how life works. We're always evolving, and so I keep trying to evolve. The book is available on Amazon. It's available through my office. And, you know, I'm happy to inscribe it for people if they're interested.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So what would we learn from the book, and where can people buy it?
You would learn a lot about nutrition, and a lot about nutritional status being absolutely paramount. When nutrition tends to go south, our health tends to go south. It was, I believe, Hippocrates that has attributed to him, we are what we eat. I don't think that's so far off. When we eat a diet that is healthy, that has no pesticides, that has food that actually grew in the ground or walked on the ground or swam in the ocean before they became polluted, we tend to be pretty healthy. We will tend to get dysfunction in the organs in which we are most vulnerable, and we each have a certain set of organs where we are most vulnerable. But as long as our nutrition is sound and we're not feeding ourselves chemicals, injecting ourselves with mercury and aluminum and other such things, we tend to be quite healthy. It's when our nutrition goes off the rails that things start to go south. And it can take many years, depending on where we started out. If our mothers were healthy, we started out with a better base. If our mothers ate junk food, then we started out with a less good base, and it probably won't take us as long to get sick.
Mm-hmm. How do you test for vitamins? Is there a blood tests available?
Yeah, there is actually a really good one that I use a lot. It's through Genova Diagnostics. It's called a NutriVal Profile Nutritional Evaluation. It uses urine and blood, both, because different things can be measured in different secretions of the body. And it will measure functional levels of vitamins, of fatty acids, of chemicals that are produced by the gut if there is an unhealthy gut, if there are products of protein products in the stool, or if there are markers for unusual and unhealthy organisms in the blood. So it's something that I can look at functionally and say to a patient, okay, what you're taking is working well because you don't have any major nutritional potholes. Or I can say, well, no wonder you're so tired. You really are running on empty. Shall we do something about it?
Mm-hmm.
It's a very, very useful test.
Wow. And once you've treated the patient, how often would you have to redo those tests?
Some people will do them every couple of years. Other people actually learn their lesson about good nutrition and they feel good and they don't redo it.
Okay. And are these tests expensive?
Depending on the patient's insurance, the test actually lists at $2,000 or a little more.
Wow.
Yeah, but the lab, in fact, if someone is paying cash, doesn't charge nearly that much. If someone has insurance that the lab can bill, they will take a copay from the patient and then get the rest from the patient's insurance, assuming that the insurance pays something, and most of them do pay something on the test.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it is a very, very useful test.
So how would a person feel if they were running on empty vitamin and mineral supplement wise?
Usually very fatigued, no energy, no get up and go. Oftentimes poor memory. Sometimes insomnia. They just can't go to sleep because they're so hyped up because nothing is working. They may consider themselves to be perfectly healthy. Of course, I wouldn't see them in that case because, you know, you don't come to somebody like me to say, gee, I want you to show me that I'm healthy. But they may not have any symptoms at all for a while. You know, I use William Ray's example of the toxic, the barrel full of, you know, that's supposed to be full of toxins, where we're supposed to collect toxins. As long as the barrel is half empty, there's no problem. You've got reserve against further toxicity, and you can get rid of it. As soon as the barrel starts to get full, it doesn't take very much. You know, one drop can make it spill over, and you start to get symptoms. So it kind of depends on total body toxicity. How sick people get and how rapidly and how long it takes to get sick from nutritional deficiency.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure our listeners who are possibly in the Arizona area, how long a waiting list do you have?
Kind of depends on the time of the year, but if somebody's really sick, I can usually get them in within a couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't believe in month-long waiting lists. I just don't, you know, they're not helpful. I try to get people in and out, and I try to graduate them. You know, I try to get them well enough that they don't have to see me anymore.
Mm-hmm. Well, your website is arizonaadvancedmedicine.com, and the details on how to contact you are on there. What advice would you give to people who are listening to this, who are feeling unwell and don't know where to turn?
Just to tell them that I do a free 15-minute phone consult to see if what they have is something that I think I can help with. So I'm happy to talk to people on the phone. It is brief, and, you know, they shouldn't expect medical advice or a diagnosis, but they can at least expect something like, no, I'm not sure I can help you with that, or, yes, that sounds as though that's something that we might be able to help, and I would be happy to work with you.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Okay, they should know that we don't take insurance.
Okay.
Ever. So I just don't deal with insurance. We have somebody that is a third-party biller that will help them submit to their insurance that I'm happy to recommend. I have no financial relationship with her. She's just really good at what she does. I'm happy to recommend her. But insurance is out of the picture for us.
Mm-hmm. Well, health insurance and things in America is all a bit of a mystery to me.
Not just to you.
Well, I had the first time I went to Las Vegas, I didn't drink enough on the plane, because when you ask for some water, you get like 2 inches, which when you have, right. I have MS and I have bladder problems and I need to keep flushing my kidneys. Anyway, kept asking for water. And then when I arrived, I knew I had got a UTI. And where we were staying, I'd got all this paperwork where it said, you know, before you see a doctor, you've got to phone us up and we'll tell you which doctors to go to. Mm-hmm. and it was really painful. And my husband, we were there, we wanted to, you know, hire a car and go and see the Grand Canyon and all sorts of things. And my husband said, look, there is a doctor over the road, just forget it, just we'll pay, just go over the road, see the doctor, get some antibiotics and we'll be on our way. I had no idea you do things so differently. I had to see first an under doctor, if you like, who was weighing me and taking my height and all this sort of thing. And I'm thinking, I'm not staying here. I'm not being a patient. I just want some antibiotics. And eventually I saw the doctor and I had given them a sample and he said, oh, gee, he said, you've come a long way just to get a UTI. And I thought, yeah, I knew that. and he said to me, do you have insurance? Well, I wasn't using insurance because I'd invalidated that by going to see him. So I said, no. Mm-hmm. And he said, do you realise how expensive it is here? So I said, no. And he said, well, OK. And this was going back before I started LDN, so it would be around 2002, and it was like $400 for the consultation without the medication. And he said, you pay the consultation, and I've got here some samples I've been given by a drug rep. I will give you the medication. So that was really kind of him. But I thought, well, that was a lot of money.
Yeah.
I said to my husband, just because you wanted to cross the road. And we were there for like 3 hours. We did get value for money, but I did spend a lot of time in the waiting room waiting.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's been amazing talking to you today, Martha. Really do appreciate it. And we'll have to have you back another time.
Well, thank you. I would like that. And I'm glad we finally got to connect.
Exactly, exactly.
My confusion with ours.
Okay, well, thank you very much and enjoy the rest of your day.
You're most welcome. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
This show is sponsored by Mark Drugs, who specialise in the custom compounding of medications, assuring that the client gets the proper prescriptions for their unique needs and conditions. They work with practitioners, integrating knowledge and treatment of experts to create comprehensive health plans. Visit markdrugs.com or call Roselle 630-529-3400 or Deerfield 847-419-9898. Any questions or comments you may have, please email me, Linda, Linda, at ldnrt.org. I look forward to hearing from you. Thank you for joining us today. We really appreciated your company. Until next time, stay safe and keep well.